honorable to God in every way, and as has already been alluded to and prayed about, of course we have Mother's Day in the nation and in other parts of the world, but we honor God today as we honor our mothers every day. And that's something to remember, is that it is God who has given us motherhood and our mothers. And the love of a mother is what we want to particularly study from God's Word, reflect upon, and meditate upon some this morning. So I invite you to get your Bible and join us as we learn some principles and some practical applications, hopefully that are instilled within the heart and life of every mother who is here today, every grandmother who is present, but also to teach the rest of us as well. To understand and to appreciate and to thank God for mothers in our lives. Someone has said that a mother's love is instinctual as well as unconditional and forever. And yet the sad reality is that every year in America, about 200 children are killed by their mothers. That's not quite one a day, but more than one every other day. And so, is mother's love just inbred? We would answer that with no. The Bible says no. A mother's love is not inbred. And while there's no question that there is a mother's love that stands her apart, yet, truth is that the Bible teaches us mothers learn their love, just as fathers are to learn their love. It's important to see what the Bible says about this. Titus 2 and verse 4, the older women are instructed to teach the younger women not only to love their husbands, but to love their children. And with the warm, affectionate love that the word conveys here with the root phileo. So there is the need as mothers to accept instruction about loving your children. Instruction from God. Instruction that comes from the Word of God and from those who love and care about you as well. You see, a mother who, and we're going to make application specifically toward mothers today, a mother who refuses to be instructed will not be a good teacher of her children, will she? If a mother refuses to be taught, then she compromises herself as a teacher of her children. And so we want to learn from the wisdom of God, from the truth of God, and as mothers, to then love your children in the very best way, in the very godly ways that we see emulated in some of the mothers that are recorded for us in the pages of inspiration. You know, a mother, it's been also said that a mother's love, or mothers love their children when they least deserve to be loved. And that love of a mother imitates the love of God. So we're thinking about the death of Jesus this morning and the cross. It is that God has loved us when we were least deserving. When we didn't deserve it, when we were the least lovable. Mothers love their children that way, or should. And so it is the value of that sort of love that cannot be measured in currency. That kind of love, a mother's love that imitates the love of God, is measured in the moral character and the wisdom and the training that it gives, that she gives her children. Proverbs 6, 20 through 24 speaks of it this way. It says, "My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep,
they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So not only this morning is our study to meditate upon and be reminded again of the love a mother has toward her children, but in turn that we as children are to respond, how we are to respond to her love. How we are to honor her by remembering her instruction, by taking it, accepting it willingly, being putting ourselves at her disposal to be shaped and molded. You see, as a godly woman is a mother to her children, she is shaping and molding those souls for service to God. And as children, if we will accept the molding and the training, then we are honoring her, and in that honor, we are being molded to be good servants of God. So our lesson is twofold. For mothers, and for those of us who have mothers. For mothers, to love your children, to be taught from God to love your children, and to understand some of what that means, and as children and grandchildren, to accept that love, to respond to that in a way so that when you roam, when you leave home, you're going to be led by what your mother said. When you sleep, you'll be protected by the wisdom of that loving hand that reared you. You see, when you wake, to remember what your mother told you. Those are the elements that are to be embedded within us and are embedded within us by godly mothers. Let's talk about a mother's love for a moment. A mother's love protects her children. And that's one of the reasons we used and read about Jochebed earlier. We'll come back to that. A mother's love and protection is, it lasts a lifetime. Sorry, a mom's love and protection doesn't end when you turn 18, young people. I'm 18 now, Mom. That's all. No, not in the least. Not in the least. But Mom, sometimes you have to kind of address that too, don't you? As you're being a mom. A Jewish proverb says, a mother understands what a child does not say. And maybe that's an element that helps a mother be a protector, is when she is so in tune with her children that she understands her child without the child ever saying. That bond and that knitting together lasts forever. And Mary comes to our mind, the mother of Jesus, as we prayed about it this morning, from the manger, from that cradle to the cross. Mary was there. Mary was there when the prophet Simeon said that God was letting him see the salvation he had planned, the Savior, the Christ. He heard him say, your heart's going to be pierced through. Mary saw her son grow and mature among men. She heard his teaching. She saw his works. She was there at the cross when he took his last breath on this earth and died. She was among those who had faith in his resurrection. And at the beginning of his church, Acts 1 and then Acts 2, where it began. A mother's love continues and abides. The love that you have for your child protects your child, seeks what is the very best for your child. Jochebed knew the Pharaoh's edict, and her husband, Amram, acted in faith. Protection we're talking about for your child, for our children, is the protection that faith brings into his or her life. Hebrews 11 and 23 says that Hebrews 11 and 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents Because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. The mother's protection of her child is not afraid to give it. She protects in many, many ways. She protects you from hunger with food, from ignorance with truth. She protects you from selfishness with charity, and unbelief with faith. That's the kind of protection you as mothers must be giving your children. It goes beyond making sure their belly is full and their body is clothed, although that is an expression without question of the love that you have for your child. And God sees that. God honors that. And we are honored you for that. Proverbs 31:15 says, "She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household." She is protecting her children. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. And she is providing the clothing. She's the preparations needed to protect them in life and clothe them. But continuing, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household. Her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates and so forth. You see, not only is she providing food and clothing, but this mother is establishing an atmosphere of goodwill and kindness toward others. Mothers, you are helping to protect your children in an atmosphere of goodness and kindness toward others when you show that kindness and goodness toward others. They see and learn that from you. Again, in drop down to 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Here is a mother who is clothed with strength and honor, and that strength and honor is conveyed to her children. And seen by them and by her husband, she watches over, she protects. You see, she protects. That's a mother's love. Protecting physical things, but protecting in spiritual things, in the nobility of character and faith. Look, for instance, God wants women, it says, to marry, bear children, manage the house. As you manage your home, you're protecting your child from loneliness and insecurity and doubt. Millions and millions of homes are without two-parent settings anymore. Single mothers, single fathers. God has arranged the home in a way to give protection and stability and security to children. As you as a mother manage the home in a godly way, you're giving that protection to your child. When you teach your child God's Word, you are protecting him or her from sin. Psalm 119:9 says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word." Mother, you teach God's Word to your children, you are helping to protect him or her from sin. "With your whole heart I have sought you. My whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." You see, mothers, as you seek God with your whole heart, not only you, but also your children are learning to trust God, to obey God. There's protection. Again, verse 11. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Let us hide God's Word into the hearts of our children and so protect them from sin. A mother protects her children by setting examples of purity, protects them from sin and from evil, and helps them to learn holiness. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 1-4, I'm reminded that here the believing wife is setting a godly example of purity and humility before an unbelieving husband, so that that she is submissive to her husband. Wives, be submissive to your husbands, and even if those who do not obey the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied with fear. Do not let your adorning be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, here's a woman who by her purity of conduct, her reverent attitude, her gentleness and quiet spirit, is not only precious before God, but has an overwhelming influence upon her husband. And I would add, in truth, upon her children as well. The mother who will set those examples and live that purity is powerfully protecting her children. But now, children, you see, now there's a responsibility that comes on you. When your mother is giving these sorts of protections, honor her for it. Listen to her teaching. Keep on listening and learning. Look, for instance, Proverbs 23, 22 through 25. Proverbs 23, the beginning of verse 22. Listen to your father who begat you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So if I understand that passage, at least in part, the idea of not despising means you listen. You give attention to. You hear and accept. Because the next verse goes on to say, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. But truth contains wisdom and teaching and understanding. But you see, mothers and fathers are to be imparting that. And even when our mothers grow old, you keep listening. You hold, don't sell it out. The father of the righteous will rejoice, greatly rejoice, and he will beget a wise child. He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Have you ever thought of the times when Mary, observing her son Jesus, just sat back and her heart was filled with joy? Because her son had grown into a man of honor, was showing integrity, loved truth, and righteousness. You see, now as a child, and your mother has given you protection and continues to protect you in truth and in goodness and in all the things we've discussed here, how will you respond? With the gratitude of obedience, of respect, of listening, of care, of responding in a way that fills her heart with joy upon every remembrance of you, every thought of you, every time she sees you. That's our responsibility as children toward our mothers for the great work that they do for us. Proverbs 19 now, 19:26. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Now that would be powerful words to us when we think about how we treat our mothers. How we respond to the instruction that she gives us. He says, don't chase your mother away. Don't reject her teaching and bring shame upon her by your conduct. That's wrapped up in the idea of honoring your mother. It goes far beyond making sure she has flowers or candy or a card on Mother's Day. And it gets to how you are living every day in reference to your life and the protections and instructions and provisions that your mother makes for you. Chapter 30 of Proverbs, before we go on. Chapter 30 and verse 17 says, the eye that mocks his mother and scorns obedience. I'm sorry, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Where I grew up, we didn't have eagles, but we had buzzards and a lot of roadkill and possums and armadillos and skunks. And those buzzards would fly down to the road and they'd start picking the flesh. They'd start eating the carcass. God says, you scorn your mother. You despise her. That's my attitude toward you. He said, the buzzards are going to come and pick out your eyes. You see, God wants us to honor our mothers for the wonderful protection she gives us. So when you honor your mother today, remember how she's protected you and how she is protecting you. And let that be a part of the honor that you give her. Not just today, but how you treat her and respond to her and listen to her every day of your life. Mothers, also in a mother's love, prays for her children. Mothers pray for their children. There, it's been said, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to Proverbs 31 and see what it says there. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her so that he will have no lack of gain. And then you go down to verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised, or she shall be praised. So here is a woman who has God at the center of her life. Faith is the trait that defines her. And this woman who is trusting God before herself, then is trusting God and serving God by serving her husband, by loving her children, by serving them. She follows God's ways of motherhood. Not the latest fad, not the latest philosophy of men about what mothers are and should be, but what God's Word says motherhood is. And really, like Hannah, she seeks to be a woman who is heard by God. You know the story of Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was barren. She had a rival in the house. There was another wife in the house. A good argument against multiple wives is the story of Elkanah and his two wives. Well, God didn't institute that sort of an arrangement in marriage. God instituted one man and one woman, and it was man who introduced polygamy. And over the course of time, she is made to be miserable by the rival in the house, as she was bearing children, but Hannah had none. And so in anguish and agony of spirit, she prays to God for a child. In bitterness of soul, chapter 1 of 1 Samuel in verse 10 says, in bitterness of soul, she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you'll indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a man-child, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. She didn't just pray once. She kept on praying. She continued praying. This prayer was on her heart and on her lips continually. Verse 20 will go on to say, came to pass in the process of time, as you remember, God blessed her. It says that she conceived and bore a son. And called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now, see, the name Samuel means heard by God. Heard by God. She remembered God. She was a woman of faith. And in praying for the child, when God blessed her, she remembered God. She said, God heard me. So, and yet, she didn't stop praying to God by any means.
we go on to read the great song there that's recorded, and a prayer of Hannah's actually in chapter 2. Hannah prayed and said, and it was a prayer of thanksgiving, an honoring of God, and giving adoration and praise to God. Here's a woman who prayed always for her child, I'm sure, and she had more children also, the text will go on to teach us. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We ought always to pray for our children. Mothers do that. Mothers pray for their children. Mothers and fathers should be praying to trust God to know what's best in rearing children. Manoah, father of Samson, asked that God would send that messenger back to them that they might learn, teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Teach us. Again, learning from God, praying to God, being heard by God. Mothers, to love your children, you need to be praying for your children. You'd be praying for them individually and praying for their situations and praying for yourself toward them, and God will hear you. God will answer. As you live in faith, you see His faith is the center of your life, and the direction of all of your choices. And in turn, children, we need to be wise and obey our mothers so that they have good answers to their prayers. You know, God expects that, you see, God has so arranged it as mothers are praying mothers and children are obedient children, then you have an atmosphere of faith. You have a family then where that relationship not only grows, but prayers are answered in positive ways for the benefit of the whole of the family. Let's go to some verses. Proverbs 17 and verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. A foolish son doesn't listen to instruction. A foolish son rejects truth and righteousness, son or daughter. And what that does is it causes grief to the father. And it causes the one who bore him or her to be bitter in soul, to hurt. Are we contemplate and realize that when we reject and live in a way that spurns the faithful prayers of our mother, that we're causing bitterness in her heart? We're causing her grief. We must take responsibility for how our lives as children affect our mothers. God says, honor your mothers and your fathers. You see, that boils down into my treatment of her. And do I respect her prayers for me? Her desires and wishes as she turns Godward for my benefit? Or do I spurn that and reject that? And oppose that by being foolish in my choices and obstinate and rebellious in my conduct and treatment of it. Verse 21 says, "He who begets a scoffer does not." I'm sorry. "He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy." And that's the same for the mother. There is no joy. There is no happiness in the heart of the parent, of the mother, father, whose child scorns and scoffs and ridicules and belittles. Such ought never be out of our tongues or out of our conduct and treatment of our mother and father. Chapter 15 of Proverbs in verse 20. "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." A foolish person despises his mother. The one who sacrificed to bring us into life, to give us life. There's a great sacrifice. You know, look at some of the parallels of the cross and of the mother bringing a child into the world and giving birth. Look at the sacrifice that's present. Yeah, she sacrifices to bring us in, to give us life. She sacrificed that girlish figure. She sacrificed all the other things that are laid aside so she can give us life. She sacrifices her time, her energies. Pain is associated with childbearing. But when it passes, there's joy because a child is in the world. Cross, time of pain, the Son of God. But with its passing and the resurrection, great joy. Endurance and perseverance is seen at the cross. And so also in bringing a child into this world, our mothers persevere. And not just in the birth process, but from that time forward to this present moment, everyone who is a mother has persevered. Who is being a godly mother has endured. You see, all of these cause and should cause us as children to honor our mothers, not despise her, not scorn her, but to see why God says it's right to honor your mother as well as your father. Now, another aspect of a mother's love is the preparations that she makes for her children. Someone has said, no influence is so powerful as that of a mother. No influence is so powerful. You have tremendous influence over your household, over your children. Use it wisely. A good mother is worth hundreds of schoolmasters, another person said. You could have many teachers through your school years, but a good mother teaching you will influence you and instruct you in ways far surpassing. Teaching you of life, teaching you of love, teaching you of faith. Yeah, I was thinking about this, about a mother's preparations for a child, and they include many things, and you know what came to my mind first, which or one of the first things was, do you remember the first day of school? Well, your mom had a lot to do with preparing you for that first day of school. Talk to her about it. She'll be happy to tell you about it. Because she remembers it. She does. You may not, but she does. And that's just an illustration of she prepares us for life. In small ways, every day. She teaches us about love by showing it to us. By giving it to us. She teaches us about faith by living it before us. By being an example of it to us. By teaching us from God's Word that we might have faith ourselves. You see, Bible mothers, consider some of them who prepared their children. We go back to Hannah. She prepared her little boy, Samuel, to honor God. Because by her honoring of God, look at this passage with me just a moment. 1 Samuel, back there again in chapter 1, the verse picks up in 23. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only let the Lord establish His word. And the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. Now, she is nursing her son. He is growing. She is caring for her son. She is teaching him, instructing him, providing, protecting, preparing. And when she weaned him, she took him up with her. She didn't just send him off to church, if you please. Didn't just send him off to the tabernacle. You go on, you know, and Eli will show you what you need to do. The priests will be there and the Levites will help you out. No, she said, come on, let's go. We're going to go to the tabernacle. We're going to make sacrifices to God. And the child was young. Verse 24. You know, some people keep their children away from God when they're young. They don't want to cause a disruption or they don't want to be inconvenienced themselves. God says, no, don't think about it that way at all. You take your children when they're young. You bring them to worship God when they're young because that's when you impress upon them how important it is, the value of it. You show it to them in your own life. And that way you're preparing them to honor God when they grow up. See, Hannah prepared a little robe for her son year by year. Remember that? She left in that tabernacle there with Eli to be a servant. And every year she would bring a little linen ephod for him, year by year. She was continuing to, behind the scenes, do what was necessary to equip him in his service of God. Mothers, do that. Do that for your children and your loving your children the way God wants you to. Mary, she prepared her son, didn't she? Mary's life, we've already alluded to it. You know, in Luke 2, when at 12 years old, Jesus was found in the temple after they did not know for 3 days where he was, and all that story we'll not go into now. But when they saw him, they were amazed. Luke 2:48. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Now, see, Mary, driven by the concern that a mother has for her child, expresses amazement and wonderment. "Why have you brought such anxiety upon us?" They did not understand what he was saying, but they understood their child wasn't with them. And they were afraid for him. But then it says he went down with them. And by the way, I don't think that's a lesson telling us that parents should not be concerned about their children. That's not the point. Parents are concerned about their children. Parents wonder and worry about their children and make arrangements to provide for and prepare for their safety. But you see, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Mary was preparing her son by godly instruction and teaching him to be subject. She taught Jesus, if I understand that passage, he learned obedience to his parents because she was willing to have parental authority and exercise that parental authority over her son. Mothers, you don't prepare your children for life if you love them too much to spank them when they need it. You love them too much to discipline them when they must be disciplined, to punish and correct. Prepare your children with genuine love. Then you're preparing them to honor authority and you're preparing them to honor God. Eunice and Lois come to mind as women who prepared Timothy for a life of faith because they first had faith, a genuine faith, an unfeigned, a real faith in his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. And that extended to teaching him the Scriptures, chapter 3 and verse 15. From a babe, he learned the Scriptures that were making wise unto salvation in Christ. His father was not a Christian. His father, Eunice's husband, was evidently, he was not a Christian. And yet these women, in their faith, reared this young man to be a great man of faith and service to God. Well, children, remembering that a mother, I pushed the wrong button. Now, actually, I'm sorry, I say a mother prays for her children. I ought to be prepared for her children so that children ought to graciously accept those preparations. Thank her for what she does. Accept those preparations for love and for life and for faith. Look at Proverbs 1, 8 and 9 as we bring this to a conclusion. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a great gracious ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Putting a necklace on. Wearing a chain brings beauty, brings a graciousness. He says that's what the teaching of your mother is about. You abide in the teaching of your mother and it will grace your life. It will adorn your life. Faith, godliness, that's what Jesus did. He was subject to her.
Part of the good we see in the man Jesus is because we see it in his mother Mary and his father Joseph, selected by God. You see, your children, or as children, we need to be thankful to our mothers for what she's done in preparing us for this life and for life beyond. Don't rob your child, your mother of the honor that she is due. Proverbs 28:24 says, "Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, 'It is no transgression,' the same is companion to a destroyer." Now, he may be talking about money there. You know, Mark 7 and verse 11, Jesus rebuked the hypocrisy of the men who were saying, "What I would have used for you, mom and dad, I've given to God, and so you're not honoring your father and mother." But you know, when we rob our parents of their honor, we're thieves just the same. When we don't give them the honor they're due, we're robbing them. Don't do that. Don't take from them that which is their is rightly theirs, and that God expects that we give them. Proverbs 30:11 says, "There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There's a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness." It's filthiness to not honor our mother and father. What a great debt we owe them. So honor by being true to God. See, when we're true to God, then we show an honor to the mother who talks about God. Do not be a fool and despise the mothers God has blessed us with. Mothers, may God bless you in the love that you show your children as you prepare for them, as you protect them, as you pray for them. May every one of us as children and grandchildren give our mothers and grandmothers today and every day honor by listening, learning, and living lives that bring honor to God. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to first honor God in faith. You need to obey His gospel. You need to confess that He is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and repent of your sins against Him. If you'll confess your faith and repent, Jesus said, "Be baptized for the remission of your sins." He said that through His apostle in Acts 2:38. So if you need to be a Christian today, be baptized into Christ today, we want to help you. And we urge you to do that now, or as God's people, to repent of sin if it's in our lives. Come back to God. Put Him first, to honor Him. And all that we say and do, if you need to repent of sin as God's child, do that too. While we stand, while we sing.